We wouldn't be here this morning speaking to this group, and you wouldn't be here listening if it wasn't for the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that we can meet today, and welcome for each one that are here. It's great to be able to meet together to sing together, pray together, and study God's Word and in worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is also a very special Sunday because we're going to see, have witness a baptism. Five individuals are going to be baptized in their public declaration and expressing their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're going to study today, our study today will be on baptism and the significance of this step of obedience as outlined in Scripture. If you were here last week, you'll remember that at our family service, we were introduced to the parable of the soils from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Thank you, Dave, for teaching us through that so and most important parable. It's important and it's relevant to what we're going to witness today because it has a connected theme about hearing God's word and obeying God's word. We learn from Mark chapter 4 that a sower went out, a planter, and he went out to plant fields, seeds in a field. And the Lord himself explains this parable. The sower is the Lord himself, or anyone that declares the gospel of Jesus Christ. The seed is God's word, his declaration to this world for salvation and peace and joy. And there's four types of soils, and you remember there were the hard-packed wayside, there was stony ground, and there was thorny ground, and there was good ground. We know that in those grounds that weren't good, soon the seed was either picked up by the birds or it was choked off and there was no root and it withered and died. But thank God in Mark chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, this is what it said, and this is a review, but some seed fell on good ground, and it sprang up and it yielded a crop, and it increased 30, 50, 100-fold. And that picture is those that Jesus says, he who has ears, let them hear. That's how he ends that parable. These are those who are followers of Jesus Christ, who have received God's gift of grace and salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. Those are those who own Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the emphasis in this is Jesus Christ as Lord. The Lordship of Christ, what does that look like in my life? What's that look like in your life? Is His presence evident in my life, in your life? Does He have our hearts? Does He have our bodies? Does He have our desires and our intentions? Is there a devotion and consecration to Jesus Christ as Lord in my life? I believe Scripture teaches that baptism is an outward display and symbol of two things, salvation and the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. The Lord in Matthew 28 gave His disciples, His followers, an instruction. He says in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the Great Commission we call it, or it's called, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And then as we roll into the Acts of the Apostles, we have examples of those that in fact trusted Jesus Christ and obeyed that declaration and command of Jesus to be baptized. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. I love this. Peter told those that were seeking salvation in Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for or because of the remission of sins." In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Then those who gladly received His word," they trusted Jesus, "were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the number of those early saints." Acts chapter 8, Philip went alongside the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading God's word and he couldn't understand it. And the Holy Spirit caught Philip away to witness to this man about God. And it says that he preached Jesus unto him. And as he was riding in his chariot, whatever that looked like, he wants to be baptized. And I'm sure Philip must have taught the baptism of Jesus Christ to this, because he says, here's water, why can't I be baptized? And Philip replies, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Peter and Paul and Philip baptized him. Acts chapter 16, I love this story. Read it sometime at your leisure. But Philip, Paul and Silas are in prison in Philippi because of the preaching of the gospel. At midnight, they're singing praises and praying, unlike what I may do if I was in prison. And the Lord sends this earthquake and shakes up the prison, and all the prisoners' chains and the cell doors open up. And the jailer's about to kill himself because of this huge breach of security. And Paul shouts out, don't harm yourself, we're all still here. And I love this declaration. He runs in. He must have heard him preaching or praying and singing God's word, because he knew exactly what to say. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's reply was in verse 31 of Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Very simple. And he and his family were baptized after Paul spoke to them the word of the Lord. And there's many other examples in the New Testament where there were converts that obeyed the Lord in baptism as soon as they trusted him in salvation. Each of these examples, baptism was the first step of obedience to the one who had saved them, the one who was their Lord and Savior. In this step of obedience, many of these new believers were persecuted. They were mistreated. They were brought into public scrutiny because of this new faith, even some of them death. But that didn't matter to this group. They were now followers of Jesus, and they were willing to step out in public identification as a response to the Lord's command, and they were publicly baptized. Well, the best way for me to explain baptism as taught in the New Testament, this identification with Christ that we call believer's baptism, is to first explain what it is not. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. This is an important point, because there are many that believe that this is a tandem connection that has to happen in order for you to receive salvation. But I believe the scripture is very clear that this is not the case. We read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. No additions to the blood of Jesus, no add-on, no extra curricular that has to happen in order for the efficiency and efficacy of Jesus' blood to work, to be satisfactory. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Romans 10 and verse 9. Some of you might have learned this in Sunday school. I remember learning this when I was a little guy, and it just sticks with me. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. No. Addition of baptism. It's trust and belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In Luke 23 and verse 43, there's a story of the thief on the cross. And I've used this talking to people, especially people that are near the end of their life, and they're looking at what can I do to trust Jesus? You know, the thief didn't have time to get baptized. The thief didn't have time to change his life, to turn over a good leaf, to do whatever this world says that you need to do. He turns to the Lord in recognition of who he was, and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus' response is, today you'll be with me in paradise. This is the call of a heart that owns Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that is the response that is saving power that changes lives. And that's the very thing that happened. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, when we went through our Romans study last year, what a blessing that was. The Apostle Paul makes this statement, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," because what is it? It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. Secondly, baptism is not for everyone. The scripture clearly presents baptism as something for those who believe. We just talked about that. It does not begin a process of salvation. It's not a rite or a ceremony for some future understanding. It's not a seal of grace. Baptism is for those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, we read this. The Lord says this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." The earlier examples we discussed were all those who believed, they trusted, and then they were baptized. Baptism is not a pledge or initiation that carries any value in itself apart from faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The New Testament practice of believers' baptism was to identify oneself, I want you to hear this, to identify oneself with an already experienced event that happened when they trusted Jesus Christ. So what does baptism signify? Let's get it from God's word. Let's read together in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. And I'm going to try to move along so all those that are being baptized can take part in as much as they can of this service. Let's read together. It'll be on the screen, New King James Version. For those that have your Bibles, please follow along. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, or by no means. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death," that's with Jesus, "certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has freed us from sin." I'm not going to read any more because of time. There's a new master. There's a new controller for those that are trusted, that have trusted Jesus. Do we continue in sin after we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to showcase how great God's grace is? Absolutely not, because we're under new management. Our old master was sin, and our new master is Jesus Christ. See, grace brings us into a new position and standing in Christ. It's the story of the cross. Undeserved merit and favor to us from an almighty God, that the God of heaven would come and he would bear our sins in his body on the tree, that he would bear all the shame and reproach that is due to us because of our independence and our willful acts against God. And he dies in our place as the substitutionary sacrifice. We sing that old hymn. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And then we sing it together. "Then sings my soul, my God, how great thou art." Isn't that amazing? What a story of redemption. What a story that God, through his grace, would come up with a plan of redemption to buy us back from the slave market of sin so that we are no longer slaves to sin. We've been freed and we're under new management. Grace teaches us to walk, to then be clear of God's condemnation. We read that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Grace teaches us that through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there is no more condemnation. Sin has been taken away, has been dealt with, and we are children of God. And then grace teaches us to walk worthy of this new salvation in our everyday work of life. The Apostle Paul teaches us the truth of identification with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. Then he tells us, now you need to walk in the truth of that. Why don't we continue in sin? Well, scripture that we read together says, when Christ died for sin, he died as our representative, not only as our substitute, but also as our representative. As believers, when Christ died, we died. All those who are in Christ, those that are saved, are seen by God as having died to sin. This doesn't mean that a believer is sinless. This doesn't mean that we don't sin again, but it means we're identified with Jesus Christ in his death. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 6 says this. Or do you not know that as many of you were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? When a person is saved, he or she is baptized into Christ Jesus in the sense that they are now identified with Christ in his death and his resurrection. There's a change of ownership. There's a change of management. No longer are they managed by Satan and sin, but now they're managed by the eternal God of heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit. That transaction has happened, that they're baptized into Christ. That happens when a soul owns Jesus Christ as Lord and bows in submission to him as their Savior. And then verse 4 continues, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Paul goes on to explain that spiritual identification, this spiritual identification of baptizing into Christ, is now demonstrated by water baptism. Water baptism gives a physical and visual demonstration of the baptizing into Christ. It's a symbol or illustration of what's already happened when the believer first trusted Jesus. The believer symbolically, you're going to see this, passes through death, burial, and resurrection in the waters of baptism. It pictures the believer being immersed into death's dark waters, and it pictures this new man or this new woman coming out of the water to walk in, what verse 4 said, newness of life. I love this. You go into the water and you come out saying this. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. I'm going to read that verse again. I have been crucified with Christ. This is the position of each one of us that own Jesus Christ as Lord. The lordship of Jesus Christ in our life is demonstrated by this verse and expressed by this verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It goes on to say that we're no longer slaves to sin. We've been freed. The sign over the door has changed, and now it's under new management. New things. Verse 6 talks about this old man. And you often wonder, it's not talking about me. but it is talking about me. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer slaves to sin. Who is this old man? Well, that's our old man under Adam, born under sin and under the curse of the law. Old habits, old conversations, old talk, old interests. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, but now in Christ, anyone that is in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a change. And this baptism signifies a change in our heart when we've made a declaration of who Jesus is. We've bowed to the authority of him in our life. We want to show those around and make a public confession and identification with Jesus Christ as the one who has lordship in our life. Maybe there's some in this audience that have never been baptized, yet you're a believer in Jesus. The Lord would want us to take that step of obedience. They would want us to step out and be identified with him in a simple act of obedience by what we call believer's baptism. So why is baptism so important? And our baptizees are going to be coming in here shortly. Why is it so important? It is obedience to Christ's command, making disciples in every nation, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, baptism is a witness to the world. It's a witness to our friends. It's a witness to all those around us about our faith and lordship of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, baptism is a witness to other believers. We get energized when this happens. We see others that want to walk with the Lord, and we get excited because think about that day in Pentecost when 3,000 were added to the number. Well, this is just five more added to our number. Five more that fellowship here that own Jesus Christ as Lord and make that public confession of that before us. The public demonstration of God's grace in our lives. It's a significant time in our life where we can look to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to put you first. I want to make my desires. I want to make my path in direction with you. I want to trust you. I want to obey you. I want to serve you. Well, before we do our baptisms, we're going to pray together. Let's stand. And we'll pray as those come in. And we'll ask the Lord to be with each one that's being baptized and for his Spirit to be very present here. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for the story of the cross. We thank you for a Savior that was willing to come and be the propitiation, the mercy seat, the appeasement of a holy God between that and a sinful people. Lord, we thank you that Jesus stood in the gap and that he bore our sins on his body on the tree. We thank you that with his stripes we are healed. We thank you that if we trust him, He's offered us salvation, eternal life, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, we thank you for that. And as we witness these baptisms this morning, Lord, we ask that you'll bless each one that is taking this step of obedience. As they stepped out and they said, I'm dead to sin. I've died with Christ, and in his death, burial, and resurrection, I want to come out of those waters and I'll walk as a new man, a new woman. I want to reflect the grace that has been shown to me by Almighty God as I reflect that in my life and honoring and blessing each one because of Jesus. Lord, we just ask again that you'll bless this. We ask for each one in this room. Lord, we think about the diverse audience we have, and are there some here that have never made that step of salvation, never that step of trusting you as Lord? Lord, we would ask that they would see that clearly today as a demonstration of what you've done in others' lives. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Yeah.